What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 9:51 on a Thursday night. Right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, carrying you in through until midnight. I'm Devon Gibbons with you as we follow Sixers basketball here. Preseason game number 2 against the Toronto Raptors, a home and home, and they split the home and home in the preseason. Sixers picking up their first victory of the preseason tonight with a 125-113 victory over the Raptors at the center. The first time back in the building since June 20th, Father's Day, when the season came to an end. It was good to be back in the building. I was there for the first half, got back here by the mid-third quarter. I wasn't speeding to make sure that I got back here in enough time to listen to Tom McGinnis, watch it on television, take my notes, and of course get ready to talk with you about it, because there were a decent amount of people, 11,000 plus in the building tonight at the center to see your team back on the floor, and a lot of good things to take out of this one after we looked at things on the first game earlier in the week and said on Monday that we weren't going to overreact. The same thing we're not going to do here. We're not going to overreact from some of the good things that we saw. But it was just good to see basketball back on the floor. Felt good to be back in the building. Got to hang out with my nephew a little bit, my brother. They were there. Stopped by to see a friend also. Ran into Nate from Southwest Philly. It was just good to be back in there. Saw my great best friend, of course, right? Franklin. Seeing everything, getting on the floor once again. It was just good to be back in the building. And one more preseason home game. That will be Monday against the Brooklyn Nets. Final game of the preseason will be on Friday against the Detroit Pistons. And then they tip off the season next, the following Wednesday, the 20th, in New Orleans against the Pelicans. And that team is a mess. So I'd expect the Sixers to get off to a good start for the start of the season. And then that Friday, the home opener, Brooklyn, home, 7:30. Of course, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. A couple of thoughts, and we'll get into the Eagles, of course, and where they are right now as we get closer and closer to game number 5 of the season with the Carolina Panthers in Carolina. An important game with a good team thus far. One loss on their season, 3-1. Eagles right now, 1-3. They have to find a way to get a W. Tampa Bay on Thursday, short week. So we'll get to that. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the leftover things that we have from the Phillies with Dave Dombrowski yesterday during his press conference. And the Philadelphia Eagles will, of course, be a big part of our conversation. 11:45, we will get the leftovers with Tyler Zuli. And at 11:10, we will do our weekly NFL picks, because tomorrow, Jamie Lynch and I only have our draft line show from 6 to 6:30. No show for us tomorrow. You have the show following at 10 o'clock, which will be, what is it? What's that 10 o'clock tomorrow? Is it Fine? Yeah, it's going to be Fine tomorrow at 10 o'clock on a Friday, football Friday night. So yeah, we have to get our picks in tonight. And I'm prepared. I think I'm prepared. We'll see if Tyler's prepared. He'll let us know what we did last week. But as far as the Sixers go, we follow Tom McGinnis doing a fantastic job, as always, here on the Sixers Radio Network. And the Sixers and the Raptors just going at it a little bit earlier. Shake Milton gets the start tonight over Tyrese Maxey. There was no particular reason why Doc Rivers pointed at the end of the game, post-game press conference, why he decided to go with Milton over Tyrese Maxey. Just felt like he wanted to do something a little different. You have 4 games. You see these two battling in practice, and to see how they need to go about handling the responsibility of the primary ball handler for this team with Ben Simmons out. Right now, they're going to alternate and see which one ultimately wins that battle to get the start against New Orleans. I personally, after seeing Shake Milton tonight, Tyrese Maxey in game 1. It's unfair, of course, to hand it to either one of them. But if I were to go with one, and I'm going to explain why. We'll get your thoughts on this as well. I would probably go with Shake Milton just to start off to see how he goes. But if things aren't going correctly, I would have that short leash of, all right, time to get that other infusion, bring it in. Tyrese Maxey come in. Because here are a few things that I noticed about Shake Milton, who I like, and Tyrese Maxey. Obviously, we all like Tyrese Maxey as well. The thing with me about Shake Milton is he's had these years where he's had the tough years, G League, coming up, having some success. Year two, having a lot of success. Things slowing down for him in the bubble where too much was put on his plate. We saw the 39-point performance against the Clippers. We saw another 39-point performance for Tyrese Maxey against the Dallas Mavericks when they only had seven players. He was fantastic in that game, right? I've seen the good and I've seen the bad with both of these players. Not necessarily the bad, where they're still growing. So I've seen both from these two players. But the thing about Shake is, it seems at least right now, because maybe we've seen him a little bit longer, why I can have this thought about Shake Milton, it seems like there are times when he presses too much to, of course, make the right plays, make the right decisions, where he's a scorer first, can handle the ball, has a nice handle, but even when I see him out there on the floor and he starts to struggle and he's turning the ball over a little bit, I've seen him make moves where he can get by players. But then I'm seeing him get caught up into thinking, is it where I'm supposed to be, Shake Milton the scorer, or where I need to be more of the facilitator, the point guard, getting everybody into their sets? Now he's in his head hearing Brett Brown at the time, Doc Rivers now, maybe his teammates, where they're saying, Shake, you got to run the offense and get out of the mindset of score first. Kind of like if we incorporate it to Jalen Hurts, where we want him to stay in the pocket a little bit longer and let the play develop instead of getting out after the first read, that first natural read of where he has his eyes locked on, and doesn't let the progression happen where he finds the receiver on that second or third or fourth possession. And that's kind of what I see from Shake Milton, where he makes the initial move, but he's in his own head saying, oh, shoot, I was supposed to wait because Tobias Harris is cutting along the baseline and I may have to make sure that I hit him while he's cutting. The next thing you know, he's caught in a bind there, having to figure out what he wants to do with the basketball. If I were Doc Rivers and the coaching staff, of course, Shake, you are the point guard, but to go out there and play ball. If you see something, take advantage of it. If you do it right there and you take advantage of it and you get 2 points, all we're going to do is sit there and say, Shake, hey, great play. Make sure the next time, see if the man is cutting off or coming off of Joel Embiid's screen. And right there, you have that quick pass to Danny Green coming off that pin down. And the next thing you know, you have the shot that was supposed to be there for them as well. Nothing wrong with that, with what you did. Just make sure that you remember the next time down, if we call that same play because it worked, that you remember that there is also a target for you coming off of the big screen that Joel Embiid will set. Nothing wrong with that at all. Whereas Maxey, so far, obviously something new for him. I always thought, and I said this even when we got into this position with Simmons at the end of the season, that I felt like Maxey would be the one that would take the step next year, year three. Year two will be perfect for him, coming off the bench. He's that primary scorer. Don't think about anything else but going in there and scoring. Sometimes, yes, he's going to be the ball handler, the primary guy. At times, it will work out that way, depending on what Doc Rivers wants to do. But year two, Tyrese Maxey, go get me buckets. That's what I want from him off the bench. That's what I want. And I kind of think if you start Shake Milton and you go that route, only two games, still have 3 and 4 to play before, and many practices before we get to game one against the New Orleans Pelicans on the 20th, I kind of look at it and say, you know what? Let me start Shake, see how Shake does. If things aren't going the right way, and look, the offense is going to run through Joel Embiid anyway. He's going to come off the pick. He's going to run around a little bit, go into the corner, maybe come off a set screen by Danny Green, cut in the middle, get the ball back, kick it somewhere else into the corner. Whatever he's doing, the action is going to happen where he's not going to be really a detriment. And right now, he's a better three-point shooter than Tyrese Maxey is. Although Maxey, you can see, is improved, wants to be in the gym, he's going to put in the work. That's how I'm looking at things right now. And if Milton, things are not working the right way with what you want him to do, and even defensively on the other end, he's being exploited a bit, all right, take him off the floor, Tyrese Maxey, you go in, and let's see what you got too, kid. You're always going to be in it because of Embiid. Tobias Harris is going to get his buckets. You're going to find because of how the play design is, you're going to find in the corner, on the wing, top of the key, especially in transition, where they find their spots, spreading out, popping out to the wing. You're going to find your shooters in Green and Curry, and oftentimes it's going to be the ball coming right back to Shake Milton for an open three because the defense collapses on those others. That's why I look at it the way I do it to start the game off potentially with Shake Milton. Nothing against Tyrese Maxey at all. I think he's a phenomenal scorer, and I think he's going to grow into the role of being a combo guy where I can trust him with both. And you saw it tonight, listening on the Fanatic, watching the television, and seeing how it all played out with that second unit. That was fun, watching them. And then as they got the lead, you see the starters close things out in the final 4 minutes of the second quarter going into the locker room, and they were tremendous because they really put it on them where the defense picked up. You saw so much effort from everybody out there on the floor, and it all just simply worked out for them in getting the W. And again, not overreacting to anything, just simply pointing out that there are going to be opportunities for us to sit back and take a peek at what's going on the floor, seeing how Doc Rivers decides to go about things, and we're going to have our opinions. And my opinion right now is that I would probably lean Shake Milton to start. They're going to have the minutes together. It's going to balance out. And I think it's going to be a fun little thing for us to follow. Game one against New Orleans, Devontae Graham, N'Keal Walker-Alexander, how they do things. And then obviously game number two, where we see against Brooklyn, Kyrie Irving on the floor if he's still part of the team, with James Harden, Kevin Durant, and the rest of the nucleus that they have. That's going to be right now the favorites in the Eastern Conference for this basketball team. By the way, you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Devon Givens with you until midnight following Sixers basketball. Tied it up in the preseason series, home and home with the Raptors, 1-1 right now for these two guys, these two teams, as they even up their preseason record. Get ready for the Brooklyn Nets on Monday back here in Philadelphia at the center, where I believe that, yes, the 11,000, you can hear them loud and clear tonight, and it was fantastic. Maybe have a little bit more on Monday when the Brooklyn Nets come in town. No disrespect to the Toronto Raptors. So as we start off, and I have other things I want to get off my chest about this game as well, the question through two games, it's very early. We're going to take some time. I know it's going to take some time, but I'm just simply asking right now. Clearly, it doesn't look like Ben Simmons is going to be a part of the team to start off this 2021 campaign. So for you, what do you think is the best way to go about the point guard rotation? We know who the two players are going to be starting in place of Simmons. We think Tyrese Maxey started game one, Shake Milton starting game two. Still early in the preseason, they have had practice time and training camp. These two games, two more games, plus the practices before they get to the 20th to decide, Doc Rivers and his staff, who's going to be the starter for opening night. I would probably lean Shake Milton. Probably lean Shake Milton and then decide to go with how I want to incorporate things. Quick hook, like some things, don't like some things. Tyrese Maxey, get in there, see what you have, and then we'll go from there. I saw Tobias Harris bring the ball up with the first opportunity tonight against the Toronto Raptors. This is what they do. Bring the ball up, get into your quick set where it's a dribble handoff to somebody, run your action off that ball. Joel Embiid sets a screen, all of that, high post, turns around, finds guys that they're cutting across the lane on the perimeter with these other back screens that are happening all over the place, and you find whatever shooter you want moving off the ball. The ball starting to snap, it's crisp, you're all good, to the tune like tonight, 28 assists for the Philadelphia 76ers. The leader, Tyrese Maxey. Right behind him, Tobias Harris and Shake Milton with four each for this basketball team. You're not asking them to be Ben Simmons. You're asking them to be the versions of themselves that improves from year three to four and from year two to three and from one to two for these two players, and just handle the point guard responsibilities as the primary ball handler, hit your open shots, run the offense, and make sure that you're not turning the ball over, giving the opposition a chance to run in transition to get some easy buckets. Shake Milton, two turnovers in 25 minutes and 16 seconds. One for Maxey in 21:02. No complaints from me there for these two players tonight. Little more from Shake. Again, I think he's thinking a little bit too much. That's just my observation. I could be totally wrong. But as Tobias Harris and Doc Rivers pointed out tonight, both of them saying they're going to settle in. These two have been battling it out in practice during camp. And right now, it's all going to play itself out as to who will get the nod in game one. But as they get the nod, you know the other is going to get some significant minutes as well as the ball handler. Curry's not going to be it. Green won't be it. Maybe some with Harris, depending on who the defender is and how much pressure they're putting on them as they bring the ball up the floor. But right now, that's how it's going to be for the Philadelphia 76ers. Also, as we look at the box score here quickly, and once again, the phone number 610-632-0975. Looking at the box score tonight and what they did in having 8 players in double figures this evening, led by Isaiah Joe with his 15, Seth Curry with his 15, but George Niang, 16 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 6 of 11 from the floor in 16 minutes and 15 seconds, 4 of 7 to lead the team and makes tied with Seth Curry tonight off the bench for the 76ers. When the move was made, a lot of people were curious about not knowing much about him. What is the scouting report about George Niang? What did he do with the Utah Jazz? He's had some decent games. You don't know much. He's playing with that team where Quinn Snyder may play a different version of what Doc Rivers likes to do. But the key thing about George Niang is, number one, before we get to the shooting, he's smart. He has a really good IQ as a basketball player. Watching him in Iowa State with Monte Morris, with what they did as with the Cyclones, and just the fun way that they play basketball, the fundamentals that he has, he's not going to beat you much with his athleticism. He's going to beat you with his craftiness and, of course, his outside shooting. And one thing that we do know about the 76ers with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid is that you need shooters around them. Currently, it's only Embiid, but you need the shooters. Okay, you added another shooter off the bench. Last season, fan favorite, you love him, right? Mike Scott, he was a negative all year, almost unplayable at times. In this case, now you have somebody who can be that knockdown shooter, can also put the ball on the floor a little bit. The craftiness, the way that he uses his footwork, the Euro step leading into a floater, a teardrop in the middle of the paint from George Niang. These are things that you're going to see with him with the second unit and with him also at times being on the floor if he replaces Tobias Harris or being on the floor with Tobias Harris. And like I mentioned too, when he was signed, sometimes you may see him as a 5-man in the small lineup for him to knock down those open 3-point shots. You see, he has a quick release. He is always shot ready when the ball gets to him, and he's ready to shoot the basketball, knocking them down tonight to a tune from behind the 3-point line, 4 of 7, 6 of 11 from the floor overall. A good night for George Niang. Something for us to pay attention to as a player coming off the bench for the Philadelphia 76ers with Furkan Korkmaz, Matisse Thybulle, and whatever guard there might be along with Andre Drummond. And that leads me to the other player jumping from year 1 to 2. I stress it, it's early. I know. Game 1, 18 points to lead the team in scoring. Tonight, 15 points off the bench for Isaiah Joe, 3 of 4 from deep. His range looks like it's improved. He has worked on it. A lot of that, of course, is the legs, the top, his upper body strength, where he's working on that. You heard him with Tom McGinnis, just working on that. But beyond that, on, what was that, Tuesday when I went to practice, on Wednesday. I don't know. It all runs together. Wednesday, go to practice. Isaiah Joe comes over to speak to the media. And what he says is, as he's talking about being on the floor after that big game on Monday, it's about his defense, though. Doc Rivers stresses it. Isaiah Joe follows it up and understands that how he is going to get on the floor is based on his defensive performance and his effort overall on the floor. He has a good frame. We know he can shoot, but he can, again, be a negative on the defensive end. He's giving you effort. Tonight he's diving on the floor in the first quarter when he gets into the game. gaining the possession, giving them the opportunity to get in transition for a possible fast break opportunity, and then giving up his body again and just getting in there, taking those hits, getting where he needs to be, and being a pest on defense, angling his body right. Great to be around people like Simmons, year one with Matisse Thybulle, and Green, defenders that we know have are the smarts about them, understanding not just their physical gifts as defenders, but even with Danny Green's case, and he's pointed this out years later, where he also has to now use his IQ, and not to mention his body to simply angle things instead of using his hands the way that he used to be and able to slide his feet the way he used to when he was a really, really good defender in this league, all defensive team type performer for Danny Green. Isaiah Joe, so far impressing through two games of the preseason. Now, typically when you see something like this happen early in the season, like against New Orleans, Doc Rivers might see something based on his performance in practice and these preseason games where already, and Tom McGinnis talked about this, that he's going to look at it and say, this is my opportunity to get Isaiah Joe in early. Kind of like when we talked about Tyrese Maxey early in the season last year as a first rounder, you knew that he would probably get minutes, he would bring that type of energy, and you need something on the offensive end to turn it up. In Isaiah Joe's case is, will they find something where they see a situation where they need that extra shooter? You know he is focused on being a plus defender and helping out, and number one, staying on the floor because of the minutes, but then he knocks down the shot. He hit a quick bucket early after playing defense, but then he also did something where he caught the ball when the ball snapped around to him when it swung the perimeter, caught the ball, dipped in, hit a pull-up jumper where it's not a bad thing with the analytical way of the game where he pulled up inside the three-point line, maybe around 18, 19 feet, knocked down a short jumper mid-range. It counts just as much. It counts just as much. So that's what you're starting to see here. And you're starting to see as we go game by game, where you're going to see some things that we're maybe, all right, they need to work on this. But you're seeing some good things as well where you are encouraged, especially by a young player like Isaiah Joe and a player that many of you may not have known much about, not watching the Jazz, or when you watch the Jazz, you don't see much of what Niang brings to the table. These are two players that you wanted to see do something. And tonight, with that second unit, with the starters a little bit, you saw some good things from these players as well. Once again, Andre Drummond, solid in his 19 minutes and 38 seconds, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 5 of 6 on the floor. You can see where there's going to be a chemistry between, like we saw with Howard, Maxey and Milton, with that pick and roll, get to a spot, lob it, throw the lob up, and get him a good look at the rim. I even saw Furkan Korkmaz with an early play in the second quarter where he made a play. He was driving from the right wing, got to the basket. Drummond had his man sealed with a good enough amount of space for Korkmaz to either take a shot, but I thought he made the right play throwing it over the defender, who was a shorter defender at the time. I actually think it was Delano Banton tonight in that particular case. Threw it over the head of him, got it to Drummond, foul, side out of bounds. You pick up a personal foul and a team foul on the Toronto Raptors. Unselfish play. Korkmaz could have got into the lane, did one of his patented floaters, teardrop, and try to get the bucket there. Instead, I thought he made the right decision in rewarding his guy for having the seal and giving him an opportunity to make a play from there. While he did not get the basketball, they pick up a personal foul on the player and a team foul, side out of bounds whistle. Let's get ready to run this. Let's run this play coming out of this foul by the Toronto Raptors. So look, team gets a nice win. Always good to get a win, no matter when it is. End of the season, beginning of the season, certainly in the preseason, you want to get a win, see how they look defensively against the Toronto Raptors. I liked it. I was interested to see Shake Milton also early on in the game. And again, I want to get your thoughts, 610-632-0975, of how he handled the pressure of a young guy, fourth overall pick, where Nick Nurse says, okay, let me put this long, lanky, athletic guy with tons of energy on the point guard and see if I can disrupt their offense and allowing them to get into their sets too easy. And I wanted to see how Shake Milton handled it. He only had two turnovers, but he got the ball out of his hands when he needed to get the ball up the floor, get the Sixers in their sets, and not have to worry about all that pressure. What did you guys see tonight? Only preseason. We're not getting carried away, but what we love to do is analyze what we saw. Saw a lot of good things tonight. Really did. It's hard to take away, hard to pull out a lot of bad when they put up 125, especially from the second unit, where you get four double-figure scores off the bench for the 76ers. Shake Milton only 5 points tonight, but his job was to run the team, set everyone else up. 11 from Green early, 13 minutes and 16 seconds. 14 from Tobias Harris in 24-plus, 5 of 9 from the floor. 10 from Embiid on 4 of 10 shooting, his first action of the preseason. 15 from Curry, 5 of 9, 4 of 8 from deep in 21 minutes plus. Shake Milton again, 25-16, 2 of 5 from the floor, 1 of 2 from deep. Only 2 turnovers, 4 assists, 2 rebounds. Run the team. He's a plus 5. Let's see what happens. Maxi, Drummond, Niang, Korkmaz, and Isaiah Joe, all good games off the bench. Korkmaz, again, just the little things for me that stood out from him. And then you had Paul Reed, Shaq Harrison, Aaron Henry, Jaden Springer, Charles Bassey, all getting some time with the team shot collectively at 54% from the field on 87 shots, 48.6 from deep, 18 of 37, getting to the free throw line 17 times, converting 13 for 76.5%, 37 rebounds winning that battle. Also, again, 37-33, 28-21 in favor of the Sixers on the assist, turning the ball over 21 times, where Toronto converted 24. Raptors turning it over 20 times, coughing it up that many. 32 points for the 76ers as a result. Good win preseason. Points in the paint, 48-46. Sixers second chance opportunities, 24-12. As far as points for the Raptors, fast break chances for them, both points, 19-17 in favor of the Philadelphia 76ers. 23 points was the highest lead for the Sixers tonight. 2 points for the Raptors as the Sixers pick up their first preseason win tonight at the center, 125-113, in front of 11,000-plus at the center. All right, two more preseason games, Monday against Brooklyn, Friday against Detroit at Detroit. Then you get the season started the following week on the 20th, Wednesday night at New Orleans against Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, and former Sixer, first-time head coach Willie Green, and the New Orleans Pelicans. All right, let's get to your phone calls. We'll get to the Eagles in just a bit. 610-632-0975. If you're leaving the center, we'd love to hear from you and your thoughts on what you saw tonight. A much better performance in Game 2 versus Game 1. Let's start off with Nate in Southwest. Had a chance to catch up quickly with Nate as he tips things off for us tonight here on the post-game show. No. It's in the post, in the preseason here on the Fanatic. What's up, Nate?
Always good to see you, brother.
Always good to catch up, man.
Yeah, man. So I'm just fighting this traffic right now, trying to get home. But listen, every point that you made in your pre-discussion, bro, was dead on. I mean, everything that you said, I'm like, this dude's stealing all my thunder. That's what I'm saying while I'm listening to you. But listen, Niang played a great. He's not going to beat you with the foot speed, but yo, he can stroke the ball, bro. He can shoot, man. And he really proved something to me. My nephew was like, yo, the big guy was sitting next to you tonight.
Okay.
He's like, who is this guy? I'm like,
come on, nephew. Come on.
Yeah, I'm like, Utah Jazz. I'm looking at him like, you 6'7". You asking me who this dude is. Like, are you serious, bro? But, you know, he really impressed me tonight, man. And I thought Shake was okay. I still thought he was a little bit shaky. You know what I'm saying? I probably got to knock a little bit more of the rust off. But he did his job tonight. Two turnovers is not bad at all, bro. But I like the spark that Maxi came in and gave him off the bench. So, I mean, it's still a work in progress.
So are you kind of where I am, where I would be okay?
I want Maxie to come off the bench. Tonight,
right.
And I would rather have Shake starting because I want that explosiveness. If you're not getting it from Shake at the time and you bring Maxie in, then that's just going to change the whole tempo of the speed is just going to change right then and there of the game. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather have that. I mean, you know, Joel looks like he's in great shape. I mean, wow, like these last 2 years, I don't know, maybe the nutritionist is really working because he looks like he's in good shape. And, I mean, Danny looked like he's been shooting with lethal shooter all summer as he's been. So he looks like he's still got his confidence with the stroke and it's going to be different trying to adjust without that other dude.
Without 25, yeah.
Yeah. it's going to be different. You know what I'm saying? So if we can hold the fort down until a nice deal come through, then we should be okay. But, yeah, I agree with you, bro. I would stick with him playing the starting guard and then let Tyrese Maxey come off the bench to give you that exposure.
Yeah, if you feel like that infusion of energy and the fact that he would take advantage a little bit more maybe of the second unit person would be
correct.
To your advantage, then absolutely, sure. Yeah.
Yo, that one play that Furkan hit, he keep hitting them people with the fake, I'm a pass, and then go right past.
Oh, yeah, the ball fake? Yeah.
I'm like, y'all fall for this every time. Like, y'all don't know this by now?
He's tricky, man. Sometimes he's a little tricky with the basketball. Sometimes.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm a first time. I like it. So, I want him to do good, man. And like I said, it's going to take some time for that team to gel without 25 there to be that starting point guard as he usually is for the last couple of years.
Yep, absolutely, man. Well, listen. Enjoy the rest of your night and catch up with you maybe on Monday once again down there for the next at the center. All right, man. Appreciate it. Be safe getting home, fighting through that traffic. 610-632-0975. I'd imagine Mark in Cheltenham is in a little bit of traffic as well. But hang on, Mark. We're going to start off with you when we get back. We got Adam and others who want to talk about the Sixers as well as they pick up their first win of the preseason. 125-113. Some good things to take away from preseason game number two, where we're not overreacting, but discussing some good things as we pick at little things that we like as we gear up for the first game of the regular season on the 20th in New Orleans against the Pelicans. 610-632-0975. We'll get to the Birds. Again, talk a little bit more about what Dombrowski said last night since we had to rush through it a little bit. We'll get to our NFL weekly picks and 11:45, The Leftovers with Tyler Zuli on this Thursday night, 610-632-0975. We're in the post, a preseason version. Sixers win, beating the Raptors right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, Philly? This is Seth Curry of the Philadelphia 76ers. Now it's time to go in the post with Devon Givens on your home for 76ers basketball. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Thank you, Seth. Taking the time after knocking down 4 of your 8 3-pointers tonight. Really appreciate it for 15 points leading the starters. 610-632-0975. Yes, it is in the post. Following Sixers basketball preseason version here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. We'll get to, of course, our picks at 11:10. We will also have the 11:45 leftovers with Tyler Zuli. We'll let you know what happened with early afternoon baseball as the divisional series are now underway. We'll tell you what happened there and much, much more as we go along with the Eagles as well. Once again, a programming note, Draft Line Show with Jamie Lynch brought to you by DraftKings. He and I will be with you tomorrow from 6 to 6:30 only. Temple football following, and then I'll catch up with you on Sunday for the pregame show at the No Name Bar and Restaurant down there off of Delaware Avenue. So we'll catch up with you then starting at 9 a.m. while I'll run with you solo 9 to 10, and then D Gunn and I will have the pregame show starting at 10 a.m.
You guys going to be in my hometown?
I'll be right there.
Literally right there. I mean, you are 5 minutes from where I grew up.
Yeah.
Right around the corner.
Right around the corner. All right, the No Name. That's where we're going to be. So we'll hope to see you all there and help you help them name the establishment. Did you hear Anthony with how he laid it out?
So I was actually talking to our program director, Chuck D'Amico. He's explaining it to me.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good idea. Pretty cool setup.
Yeah, I like it.
Go over, hang out, put a bid in.
I like it.
Might get some cool perks.
I like it. All right, 610-632-0975. We got a lot of tweets, too, talking about the game. We'll get to them. We'll share those with you. And just keep this thing rolling until midnight like we always do following Sixers basketball here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We're in the post next with Mark in Cheltenham on 97.5. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, man? What'd you make of being back in the building tonight?
Oh, man, I loved it. I was still a little haunted by the ghost of Atlanta pass, but.
Yeah, I don't think we'll forget about Father's Day for a while.
Right.
June 20th.
Absolutely. But my observations of what I've seen, I definitely disagree with you. I'm sick of Shake Milton.
Okay.
To me, he's inconsistent. His inconsistencies, we've seen him enough. He's inconsistent. He's never been like, you know, he's on, he gets you excited, and then he comes back and he just looks mediocre to the max. Him and Korkmaz. I'm tired of both of those guys.
So what are you looking for from him with the starting unit?
To me, I wouldn't want him on a starting unit.
No, I'm saying, if he is in that spot, what are you looking for from him that he's not giving you? You mentioned the inconsistency, but what are you asking of him with Harris, Embiid, Green, and Curry? What are you asking of him to do?
I want to see the guy that I seen partly from last year. Like, the guy that Doc Rivers is still trying to chase, that guy that lit the Clippers up and, you know, and still can distribute the ball, but be aggressive. And the biggest thing I'm looking for him is consistency. That's his problem. He's not consistent. So, you know, he's on 1 minute, and then next, you know, when you really need him, he's nowhere to be found. Him and Korkmaz got the same problems, and I'm tired of both of those guys. Maxey, I see consistency. He's always aggressive, no matter what. I never seen a big letdown from Maxey. Never. Like, and this is like, even with him growing, I see him consistently doing what he does every time he's on the floor. And that's what I look for in a starting point guard. Now, I will say this. I'm really looking forward to seeing if they can make a trade with Indiana for Brogdon and LeVert. Like, if we can get them and bring Maxey off the bench, I'm great with that. Even Seth, bring him off the bench too, even though I'm loving how he's playing. You know, but if we can make that deal, I think we can really make some waves in the playoffs this year.
Here's my thing about that particular trade as a proposal. Like both of them a lot. I've always loved Malcolm Brogdon. Like Caris LeVert, grown into the player that we especially when he was with Brooklyn and he finally got healthy. He's not healthy again. That's my only drawback. Now, look, you can't. Everything's not going to be perfect in the deal. I understand that. But right. You get a player like that, I want the maximum value in return of the player. And to your point of the inconsistency with Shake Milton, the inconsistency of his health is the thing that will concern me with Caris LeVert in any deal like that.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, you know, but I'm willing to take that chance because LeVert, when you get him, that's what I'm saying, like, with LeVert, okay, if he goes down, then we have a Maxey to come off the bench and provide that punch. You know, if Brogdon goes down, you know, same thing with him. We have a Maxey to come in, or we have a Seth Curry. So I think those guys going to the bench, they're perfect complements to if, you know, insurance policies of those guys go down.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. And look, if in fact you do make a deal like that and you only give up Simmons and maybe, let's say Shake did go in that deal, right? Just to kind of make the numbers work the right way because of Simmons' right. balloon payment of 33. I mean, you look at something like that and maybe LeVert would accept, he may not be happy about it, but accept because he's on a championship contender, a role coming off the bench, and it makes your life a lot easier with how you can function as a team. With him coming off the bench, Malcolm Brogdon being the starter, you can leave Green and Curry in the starting lineup for their shooting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so I'm really looking forward to that. Have you heard anything else about that trade?
No, I have not. I have not. Just the conversations that have been going on with the rumors overall. I know Keith Pompey wrote a really good article on TheEnquirer.com about it. So I would, you know, say check that out, Mark. And see what Keith talked about in that potential deal like that. Listen, man, it was great talking to you. I'm sure we'll be doing a lot of it during this basketball season, man. Have a great night.
Yes, sir.
You got it, man. 610-632-0975. Speaker Box 3 says on Twitter, you were right about Andre. Sheesh. Him going against another second team's unit, backup center. Whew. Made me quickly forget about Howard. LOL, I know you weren't a fan. I was okay with Dwight Howard. I actually liked the signing of Howard more than I did Drummond when I heard the news, especially at the number that we talked about with each player. That's not to say that Drummond isn't a good player. I just haven't liked what I've seen from Drummond going from Cleveland then to L.A. where I was a little concerned about, look, he knew he was going to be a backup here, and he was going to play some starter minutes when Embiid would miss games, hopefully only for rest, the load management type of games, and especially extended minutes if things happen with injury-related, blowouts or something like that, a lopsided game where Drummond will probably get extended minutes there, then you have a good backup. And I thought you did with Howard. The thing that got in Howard's way was, of course, the back and forth with the officials or getting into it with the player where he might not be available. I don't see that as being a problem with Andre Drummond. I like the connection that he had with Milton and Maxey coming off the bench, and at times with Korkmaz. And even when he was starting, it was a little clunky, of course, with Simmons because you had two non-shooters on the floor. But I thought Howard did a decent job. Andre Drummond in this role, always a great rebounder. Still know how to position, get himself into a good spot, and rebound the basketball. He does. 610-632-0975. So I like both. Speaker box 3. I like them both. So far, Andre Drummond looks good. Looks good. 610-632-0975. 4-for-4 Philly mom says, Dev, please, Shake starting and then Glenn Rivers saying, quote, it's a competition. Does he actually watch him play? I also heard him say that Maxey hasn't been that great through camp with the ones, where he's still having to get into it. The competition is there.
Well, I don't know.
I'm just speaking out loud based on what we saw through games 1 and 2. I don't know what's going to happen. He's probably going to go Maxey. I was just saying, based on how a game goes, I might not mind Shake Milton starting, seeing how he sets things up where he's being a point guard and Maxey coming in, allowing Maxey to be Maxey. Is it more important for Maxey to be Maxey or Milton to be Milton? You need one of them to be a ball handler and a point guard to set things up. Who do you trust more in that situation? The offense is going to run, again, through Joel Embiid. Then you have to go through everything else. The other part of it is, I don't mind Shake Milton's outside shooting. Mark's not wrong, the inconsistency, but he can knock down the outside shot probably more consistently than Maxey at this point of their careers. Doesn't mean that Maxey won't surpass him sooner than later. Go ahead, Tom. Sorry.
I don't know if it's necessarily fair to say that Doc said it was he's not been great, because he put a caveat to that. He said he's not been great. He's not been bad either. So he's been...
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think sometimes people are using the he's not been great a little bit out of context, meaning, oh man, this is bad. The sky is going to fall without... He basically said, what I gathered from it was, it's a second-year guy having a second-year camp.
Sure. Especially where he's starting, where that wasn't supposed to be the deal.
He's not impressed thoroughly, but he's not been bad either.
And he might come out in game one against New Orleans and cook Devontae Graham. Cook Nickeil Walker-Alexander. Just flat out give it to him.
I think in general, new head coach and still needing some time to figure things out with that team. I think the Sixers in general, even without Ben Simmons, are going to cook New Orleans as a whole.
We said that last year. Remember that Friday night? And they got smacked.
In New Orleans.
Remember that?
Remember because
I had my brother's wedding the next
day? Zion coming right. That was the first game back from injury.
Guess what? Zion had the ball in his hands. Remember?
Lonzo played well too, didn't he?
Shooting, off the ball a little bit. They allow Zion to be point forward. And he just went downhill and destroyed him. Could happen again. Could. I don't know what Willie Green is doing with him. Not yet. I have no idea. No clue. We don't know anything. We don't even know who the starting point guard is of the Philadelphia 76ers. But looking at it, of course, on paper, that thing is a mess with David Griffin probably fighting for his job and Zion's camp and the stuff that you hear about them potentially wanting out simply because of the... how things are going there, based on the reports, of course. We don't know. We're not there. I expect them to go into New Orleans and win, yes.
It's kind of amazing.
Tyrese Maxey can go in there and roast them.
It's kind of amazing looking at David Griffin. For the the seeming fault. Now, granted, anytime you have LeBron James on your roster, you get a step up. But it seemed like he could do no wrong for a while in Cleveland. And now the seemingly fall from grace from that to being fired by Cleveland to going to New Orleans to probably going to, like you said, probably going to lose his job at the end of this year if they don't turn things around quickly.
Yeah, you already moved on from Stan Van Gundy, so it's not Stan any longer. The next best thing to point the finger at will be the general manager.
And you're not going to fire Willie Green even, I mean, unless they're horrendous.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to go for a third coach in three seasons.
Well, you at least try not to. Yeah, you're absolutely right. 610-632-0975. Before we get to Adam here in just a second, Mike Dub 84 says, is there any truth to the Indiana rumors with Brogdon? Look, the reports are out there at this time. All they are reports right now. Keith Pompey had the story last week where the Pacers were in the mix with a few other teams still interested in Ben Simmons. They will be. The tough part about a lot of deals is you cannot move players who were signed in the offseason to around the 15th of December. And until then, it's not a trade market right now. So are there any truth to the rumors? I don't know. But I'd imagine that Rick Carlisle, Kevin Pritchard, Indiana would have interest in Ben Simmons. And Rick Carlisle, maybe he doesn't necessarily love Malcolm Brogdon and likes what Simmons could bring to the table. And maybe he feels like he can unlock some things in Indiana. Maybe. All I know is Rick Carlisle inherited the roster that he has, and I'm sure he would like to improve it because they were not very good last year. You would think they would be better with the names that they have on their roster. I'll say that. And again, I like LeVert, big fan of Brogdon. If that was the package, we'll figure it out and go from there. 610-632-0975. My cousin says, wait a minute, Green, Curry, and Brogdon in your starting lineup? Yeah, I'm leaving Green in there for his defense. Simmons is not there, and I think Brogdon is a plus defender where a lot of people talk about him like he doesn't play defense. He plays defense. There aren't many Ben Simmons defenders like type dudes in the league.
But I thought the other day we weren't doing that.
Yeah, they're not. Malcolm Brogdon is a good defender. He's not Ben Simmons. Danny Green is a good defender. I would like that if Matisse Thybulle was not starting. I would like that in my starting lineup. And he can shoot. Adam in Germantown next here on the Fanatic. What's up, Adam?
Hey, what's up, Devon?
Oh, not much, man. Good to have another in the post as we get back into it.
Great analysis. I just wanted to say that, for now, Shake Milton is your point guard because, in my opinion, he has tightened up some things in terms of his handle and defensively. And Doc Rivers just kept talking about him too much. I mean, he kept saying, even the other night, he said, Shake played great. And I knew he was going to put him in the starting lineup. But it's because Milton actually...
I didn't even know he put him in the starting lineup. Good call by you.
No, I'm not trying to say... I mean, I say I knew, but I just...
You just had a feeling that he would maybe go that way. That's cool.
Yeah, because when a guy keeps throwing a guy's name around... And I just watching Maxey, he's not a starting point guard. He's just not. So this guy knows how to play point guard. He was coached by Larry Brown. And for people looking for him to be consistent on scoring 20 points a night, no, he's not going to do that. But, you know, he's definitely a player that makes others better. And he knows how to play the position. And, like, what I love is last year you got so many calls like, Seth Curry, oh, he's done. Say he's done. Yeah, well, with Milton, Seth Curry is all that. And, like, I really believe that he will benefit from having Milton at the point guard. You can – but I got to say this about Toronto, man. You can never, ever – I don't care what the guy is forcing – I mean, somehow you had to keep Kyle Lowry to finish up his career in Toronto because now you lose that coach on the floor. You can't replace a veteran point guard. I mean, it's just, I feel so bad for them because Nick Nurse put together a nice team with Masai Ujiri. Is that how you say his name? Masai Ujiri?
Masai Ujiri, yeah.
Masai Ujiri. Man, they did a good job, and their GM, Bobby Webster. But, man, without a point guard, they'll be lucky to win 30 games. I mean, because they can create all the turnovers they want, but at the other end, they give so many turnovers back. I mean, the difference from the other night was the Sixers got back in transition, and that just killed them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They got destroyed. And you're right, man. It just that's where they have to make sure that they tighten up things as well. As far as Toronto goes, hey, man, you know, we thought once Kyle Lowry left and the year before with Kawhi Leonard leaving that they would take a little bit of a step back. And they probably will. I still think they'll be in the mix for that play-in tournament at the end. Yeah, 7, 8, 9, and 10, they'll be in the mix for a play-in tournament. Nick Nurse is too good of a coach. They still have some pedigree there with Van Vliet. See if Siakam can take a next step in his development. And they have some other pieces that I like overall, Adam, to see how they'll put it together. But we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. And look, by the way, they were on the road for every game last year. I mean, they played in Tampa. They were on the road every game. I'm sure they'll have a little bit of home court advantage from time to time, man. Thanks for the call, being back in Scotiabank Arena for their home games.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of how many fans they're going to be allowed to have, whether it's 25%, half, whatever their number's going to end up being, it's a comforting factor for them to be able to go and play in their home arena and be in their own apartments or their homes or their wherever they're living, you know, instead of having to be in Tampa for an entire season like they were last year. They're not as good as they were a season ago or two seasons ago. Adam's right. You subtract Kyle Lowry, you're not as good. Even though, you know, I don't like Kyle Lowry, you subtract Kyle Lowry, you become a worse team. But it does balance the scale out a little bit, not entirely, but a little bit back towards the fact that they could go home and play in Toronto again instead of being in, you know, in a gym in Tampa that they're not familiar with.
Yeah, absolutely right. 610-632-0975. We'll get to a little bit of birds when we get back as well, as we are in the post preseason basketball. Sixers Raptors tonight. Sixers get win number one of the 4-game schedule, losing the opener to the Raptors in Toronto on Monday. 125-113 victory here in Philadelphia in front of 11,000 plus at the center. We'll start off with Chuck when we get back, incorporate the Eagles a bit. 11:10, we'll get our weekly NFL picks because we won't be with you tomorrow night long enough to do so. So we'll do that tonight. And at 11:45, the Leftovers with Tyler Zuli on this Thursday night. We'll update you on the Major League Baseball games, Thursday night football as well. I'm Devon Givens. Tyler Zuli's behind the glass. This is In the Post. And we'll transition to a little birds as well in the 11 o'clock hour right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, Philly? This is Tyrese Maxey of the Philadelphia 76ers. Now it's time to go In the Post with Devon Givens on your home for 76ers basketball, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, Tyrese stepping in. Nice work off the bench tonight. 14 points, 5 assists. That might get him the starting nod. Right there. That's a good starting guard's number. 610-632-0975. Good starting guard's number right there, isn't it?
We're going to be talking about starting lineup combinations because I don't think they're going to have a consistent one. I think you're going to see the one that starts off, and not with injury week, because we see that happen all the time with the Sixers team, where you're going to have Tyrese Maxey's going to play a couple games, and then Shake's going to get a run, and then they'll go Seth Curry at the point to try to figure some stuff out. Unless they do make a trade and acquire Malcolm Brogdon or acquire, you know, whomever, right? Tyrese Halliburton, whatever it may be. I think you might see some different lineups and different stuff just to see what clicks for them.
Absolutely. 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 610-632-0975. Before we get to Chuck here in just a second, what happened to Russell Wilson? Tyler?
So I didn't see it in live time, but what it looked like to me was he went to go throw a pass, and Aaron Donald came in for the SWAT, and came down on his you know, bear paws came down on Russell Wilson's hands. And it looked like, I would assume, based on how I was seeing it, it was probably a couple broken fingers or some knuckles or something like that. And Geno Smith was in the last draft. So I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know what the injury, severity of the injury is. But it didn't look good when Aaron Donald came down on him.
Oh, man. Well, there it goes for Seattle. Look, they're in it right now with 3:23 to play, down 23-14. The ball, I think they're in the red zone now after a big play. I can't tell by who made the big play, but they're in it. They're in it. So, listen. That's a big blow to Seattle with the Rams, Cardinals, and the 49ers, that division.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best division in football right there.
Man. Okay. All right. Well, hopefully Russell Wilson gets healthy, and you know he's going to fight through it. You know he's going to fight through it. Let's go to Chuck next. We'll get to some of the Eagles stuff in just a short time here, and then we'll get to our weekly picks at 11:10 as well for the NFL week number 5. Chuck, what's going on?
Yo, Devon and Tyler, the best duo in the biz.
What's happening?
What's going on?
What's going on with you?
Man, we got to talk some hoops for sure. But what's going on with our birds, man? I'm not happy, man.
Really, giving up 83 points the last two games defensively, 41-42. The defense up the middle looks atrocious right now, where they're just able to run up the middle very easily against the defense, and the linebackers are not good either.
I mean, look, you know, when we talked before the season, I said 7 wins. I think you did as well. I moronically jumped to 10 after that Atlanta performance. That's on me. That's my bet. But, you know, like, my point is I didn't have high expectations, so I would have been totally cool with, you know, whatever, a 7-win season, a 6-win season, if you have some promise towards the future, if you have some young players who are developing. And it looks like you can get this thing turned around as soon as next year. And to me, this looks like just a mess of a franchise, to be honest.
Yeah, man, it's tough right now. They have a big game against Carolina at 3-1. They're trying to keep pace in that division with Tampa and be that. Every year there's a surprise team. Maybe it's Sam Darnold with this squad adding something to Matt Rule's team with Christian McCaffrey. The offensive line looks solid. The defense is pretty good as well. They just made a deal for Stephon Gilmore, which was a very nice move. Whenever J.C. yeah. Horn gets back, and you look at those two guys adding to what they have defensively. They don't have to worry about that this week, but they're going to be at home. They feel like they have to take advantage with every opportunity to pick up a win, and especially against a team like the Eagles, where teams are going to look at them and say, let's get right. And against this team, this is not going to be an easy one. But I do see the Eagles can't. I do see where there's a situation where the Eagles can hang in this one. But, you know, I don't know what the outcome is going to be. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, look, the next 3 weeks are going to be really tough. Like I said, I just want to see some better football, some development with some of these younger players coming down the stretch. But, I mean, really, I'm getting more excited about these winter sports, you know, the Flyers also. But, you know, with the Sixers, you know, I mean, look, without Ben, you know, I don't have finals expectations. I mean, I really don't think we're that kind of team. But, you know, there's still a lot of intrigue surrounding this team. You know, we want to see how Maxey develops. I want to see how, you know, Embiid plays. You know, look, it's been Embiid's team. Now it's really his team. How is he going to play without Ben? I don't think Ben ever really did anything to really help Joel. In fact, Joel almost alluded to the point that Ben might have even hurt his game over the years. So it could just be another monster year for Joe. And
well, this is what you expect from your best player, to take another leap if need be when certain things are not going your way. Let's look. Let's say none of this stuff was happening with Simmons, but Simmons was still around, but an injury happened. We would still be looking at Embiid to do a certain thing. Now, he might want to do it a little differently, where he's going to be looking to do a little extra because of all the stuff that is happening, feeling disrespected. Again, remember when he said, I feel like it's disrespectful that he's not here while we're all here. Guys are fighting for jobs and we're fighting for a chance at a title. And he feels that way because he said it. You know he's going to want to go out there and prove, look, we want him here and we are a better team, as he said multiple times when he is here. But if he's not here, we don't need him right now. Let's just do what we got to do.
Exactly. He's not here. He's not here. I'm happy about that. Let's enjoy the guys.
Yeah, Rivers even said something tonight along the lines of pointing out, hey, we're gonna work with what we have right here, and that's what we can concern ourselves with.
Exactly right. Guys, keep up the great work.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Chuck. Right, Ty? You heard him during the press. We got to work with what we have. Got to work with what we have.
Sure, I get that. You can only do with... You can only operate with what you have, which is why, you know, I hearken it back to the Phillies, and I know that I'm being a little bit hypocritical when I give Joe Girardi, you know, kind of flack for managerial mistakes, because I understood that the bullpen was what it was and such. So I get you can only work with what you have, but you need to elevate what you have to a higher standard if you are going to be considered a good head coach, a good manager, a good coordinator, whatever it may be. I need to see that happen. That's how I can kind of judge how it progresses.
By the way, it was cool to be back in the building.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's cool. Wasn't full yet, but you could just feel the energy. People were happy to be back. It was good. It was really good. Even just going back down on the floor, seeing my best friend Franklin, catching up, seeing the great work that Matty Cord and Derek Hayes are doing there, down there, all that stuff. It was good to be back down there, seeing everybody. It was cool. Yeah, it was cool. Just to be back in the building, semi-normal. Not there yet, because you still have to wear the mask, and it's the right thing for everyone to do right now. But just good to be back in the building and having an opportunity to do the normal stuff. I even walked in when I asked the PR when I got in. I said, what are we allowed to do? It's like, yeah, got to get the rules, right? You got to check in on the rules and make sure that you're able to do stuff. So it was good.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing you want to do is overstep and then have somebody come up to you and be like, hey, not yet.
Right.
Can't do that yet.
Right. All right, we got to do our weekly NFL picks, but let's get to Shane first, then we'll go to the picks. Let's get to Shane here in Philly talking about the Sixers here in the post. What's up, Shane?
What's up, Devon? How you doing, man?
Oh, good. What's going on?
I just want to, you know, talk about, obviously, you know, Ben from an offensive perspective. You know, it is what it is. Plenty of players out there that can kind of give you what he gives you offensively. Defensively, obviously, was his best part, right? That's kind of what he thrived on, and what we thought was his best part of his game. Do you think the team without him defensively, and I guess inputting Maxey into the starting role, do you think Maxey gives you the offensive plus to take over the defensive negative that they don't have on the court?
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? When it relates to Ben not being there and Maxey being there instead, because that switches Tobias around. It switches Stiebel around if he's going to be the starter. If it switches Danny around, if it's going to be the starter. So I'm just having a hard time visualizing how they're going to make up for his loss of defensiveness. Although I think Maxey will give them a little bit of an offensive spark.
Yes, and that's a great point, Shane, that you bring up, because even when we talk about the deals, right, all the prospective deals, any proposals that any of us put together or some that we read in that regard, I think about the same thing, because while you lose what you lose with him, which is a lot, there are not many people like him that on the perimeter can do what he does, that maybe you do get that point production. In that way, where Simmons averages 17. And I think people overlook the fact that with all the stuff that he didn't do in that series going down the stretch, what he typically does is 17, 9, and 8. He took that dip, mm-hmm. and it was 14, 8, and 7. And then in the playoffs, we saw it was up about 9 and still around 8 and 7, somewhere around that number, where he was still giving you the other parts, not necessarily the points per game. A game like tonight where Maxey had 14-5, right, Shane? That's probably what you're asking for from him, because he's not the distributor.
At a minimum, though. At a minimum.
I don't know that. Just because, yes, you're going to get that, you're right. But if he's getting cooked on the other end, Doc Rivers is probably going to pull him out.
Right. And that's the thing. That's the thing where I'm looking at, you know, with the trade. I saw what happened today the last 2 days with Caris LeVert and Brogdon and some picks and stuff. And you know what? LeVert, when he was on the Nets, I believe it was the Nets, he was a problem.
Especially
when he played the Sixers, he was a problem. And you know what? Like, we got to figure out a way to, and I'm a plus minus guy for whatever reason.
Yeah, I'm not.
We got to figure out a way to get the plus up from our bench players to compensate for what we're going to lose from Simmons not being on the court defensively. Like, we're going to need to have more pluses, whether it's LeVert or Brogdon or whatever it is, to make up for that. Because I understand we all want to just overcome this Ben thing and say, hey, we don't need you, this, that, and the third. And I agree. But Maxey and Thybul, like, some people are going to have to step up.
No, I get it. And here's the other thing, Shane, before I let you go. Great points, by the way. Here's the other thing. This is when I believe it's not about the individual defender. It's everyone stepping up as team defenders and helping out in any way that they need to. I don't know if they're, and I don't think they're going to incorporate a straight up switch ability thing. And you know me, I watch a lot of Phoenix, and a lot of stuff they do is just straight up switch, because obviously I'm paying attention to what Mikhail is doing. But learning that team, they switch everything. And I don't know that the Sixers will be ready to do something like that with the style that Dan Burke's like to do. But guess what? Dan Burke hasn't had the Ben Simmons-less team yet. Now he might have to do something a little different than what he did year one as a defensive coach on this basketball team. So it's going to be, Shane, everybody's going to have to step up offensively. Everyone's going to have to step up team defensively. And you're going to have the big guy in the back clean up a lot of mess. You just hope that he doesn't get in foul trouble.
Can I ask you one more thing before, because I don't get to talk to you very much, but
yes.
I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you. I actually
really enjoy listening to you. Do you think, I mean, you know, Joe said what he said, you know, about the disrespect and all that stuff. Do you honestly think that without Ben, he's going to have a better year? If, let's say Ben's not here the whole year. We assume that's going to be the case. Do you think that he's going to have a better year this year, whether it's defensively, offensively, what have you, fully healthy, et cetera? Do you think he's going to have a better year this year without Ben if everybody else plays well, as opposed to having a healthy Ben that he's used to the last few years?
Another great question, Shane. Thanks for the call, man. I'll answer that right now. Great stuff. Be safe getting home. It's hard, number one, to top what he did last year. It's going to be hard to do. And Simmons was there to help him out. I think he's that good to have that in him. Here's my problem. He was already double teamed the way he was double teamed. They're going to now make Maxey, Milton, whoever that next starter is replacing Simmons, they're going to make them prove that they can beat them with the jump shot, off the dribble, whatever it might be. They're going to make them beat them on any given night. Same thing with Harris, Green, and Curry, because those double teams are going to come. They may not feel they need the triple team yet, but the double teams will in fact be there. How does he handle that? Does he get too loose with the basketball? Does he get frustrated with the teams coming? The extra help coming? The movement away from the ball to give him a clear view of, or a better view of, the passing lanes to get the ball off. So, Shane, is he going to be better? I can't say that, because to me, I always looked at him and thought they were good together. This is ticking me off, because I hate when people say they can't play together, because they can. It's up to Simmons to be better to make sure it's an easier play when they're on the floor together. We already know where that is. Can he be better? I don't know. But great players step up in tough spots. He'll do it from game one. He'll know what it is. See how he goes. Let's see how he goes. All right, Ty, let's get to our picks. We'll get back to the phones. We'll get to John, who's there as well. Let's get to our weekly picks, man. How did we do last week?
Another good week. Another good week from both of us. 2-1 for each of us, so a combined 4-2 for the week. We each got the Dallas Cowboys correct. You on Monday night got the Los Angeles Chargers as they beat the Las Vegas Raiders for their first loss of the year. I got the Green Bay Packers at -6.5. Our losses, you took the Rams -4.5. They did not win that game. I took the Tennessee Titans -6. They did not win that game. So our two losses not only didn't cover, they didn't even win their games. But we persevere on after 3 weeks. You are now 5-4, back up over 500 with a 4-2 record over the last 2 weeks.
Oof.
I come into week four with a 7-2 record.
Two. Look at you showing off.
Well, it's all going to come crumbling down this week. I feel that every single week. So.
All right. Well, you have the season lead, so let's go.
All right. So I'm gonna take this team for a third consecutive week, and I can't believe that I'm going to do this. However, last week was not a manifestation of how bad this team was or how good the team they played were. The New York Jets got their first win last week. The Titans were in shambles without Julio Jones and without A.J. Brown. And it was really just the run game that kept them in it, and one late drive from Ryan Tannehill that got them into overtime. The Jets end up winning the game for their first victory of the season. The Titans are not that bad. And you know who is that bad? The Jacksonville Jaguars. I think for the second consecutive season, the Jags are in some serious trouble. Well, probably more than that, but serious trouble in finding a way to win a game. The Jags won week one last week and then lost 15 in a row. They're closing in on 20 consecutive losses, and Urban Meyer's situation is not helping them in the slightest. So I'm going to take the Titans in this divisional matchup. I know it's going to be a tightly contested game. I think this line is a little bit skewed because of the Titans' loss last week to the Jets. I'll take the Titans -4.
All right, -4, Tennessee Titans. Getting some people back to help some things out with Tennessee Titans. I'm going to move to the 4 o'clock game and stay out west with one of the teams that we talked about. I just like this team. I know you do as well. Love the quarterback and Justin Herbert. This one against the Cleveland Browns is interesting because Baker Mayfield is not healthy. Tough dude. He's out there with a bad arm. And right now at home, the Chargers are -2 against the Cleveland Browns. And the number is weird. Got it. You typically get a 3, right, at home. Cleveland is a good football team. They have a lot of weapons. But their quarterback, as tough as he is in fighting through that injury, I think it's a labrum injury for him. It's not an easy one for them going on the road. And the Chargers are starting to, feel good about themselves. So, Ty, I think I'm going to go with the Chargers, -2 at home, to flat out win this game and win it by more than the 2 points. This will be a huge win for them against the Cleveland Browns, especially in the AFC.
Chargers coming off back-to-back big-time wins over divisional rivals against the Chiefs and then against on Monday Night Football against the LV Raiders, that is, to give them their first loss of the season. At some point, even against a good team, there's got to be a letdown game, and I know that Baker Mayfield is struggling with that injury like you mentioned. Their run game and their defense is strong enough to will them to victories like they did in a 14-7 win last week over the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, the Chargers are way better than the Vikings are. However, let's go head-to-head. I'm taking the Cleveland Browns not just to cover the spread, to win this game outright in L.A. against the Chargers.
All right, I like that. I'm going to go to the NFC East. Big game, division game. Dallas and New York. Sometimes Daniel Jones goes into Dallas and just has himself a game for whatever reason. Problem here, defensive player of the month almost, right? Or unless maybe he even did win the award. I don't know. Trayvon Diggs is playing some really good football. Michael Parsons looks fantastic. That defense is connecting together to make it very difficult for their opponents. And they did a very nice job last week in their win once again. So, I'm looking at this one as we almost pressed it for time here. I'm looking at this one, Dallas against the Giants, -6.5 against that Giants team. I think the offense does it again where they just put up some points and the New York Giants can't keep up. I understand they got their first win. Saquon Barkley looked much better. Kenny Golladay is actually out on the field now. I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys with the big number there, -6.5.
Yeah, between the two of us, this will be the fourth consecutive week that at least one of us has selected the Dallas Cowboys. And in fact, they've won every single week to this point. So maybe there's a little bit of truth to this this Cowboys team, as much as people in Philadelphia don't want to admit. My final game, I'm going to go to the Monday Night Football game. And all I care about in this one are two. Well, that's a lie. I care about three things in this one. I care about the Carson Wentz quarterback snap count. I care about Lamar Jackson trying to will my fantasy football team to its first win of the season. And I care about the Baltimore Ravens running the football down the throats of an Indianapolis defense that's not been as good as advertised and has not been as good as they were a season ago. They did it to Denver last week. It was a lower scoring affair because of it. But I think on Monday Night Football, the Ravens can win this game by a touchdown and cover the 7-point spread, or at least give me a push in this one. I'm going to take the Ravens -7.
Ooh, interesting. I was thinking the other way. I'm not going with that one, but I was actually thinking that they, again, show another pulse on the road to the Indianapolis Colts and do some stuff. Get a little, you know, make it a game and close that 7 number. All right, quickly, I'll go to my final one. I'm not going to go to Kansas City and Buffalo, which might be the game of the week, right?
That's gonna be a
fantastic
great
game. I'm going to go with the Cardinals and those San Francisco 49ers. They have issues. I was just talking. It was funny. My cousin and I were talking about this just a short time ago. And it's a 4.5 number right now for the Arizona Cardinals, coming off a big win. And sometimes, Ty, you get these teams that will start off the season with these undefeated records that go until like week 8 or whatever it is. It's not the Rams. The Cardinals beat them to improve to 4-0. And with San Francisco struggling the way that they are, Arizona going back home, look, they might be flying too high, but right now I'm just going to ride it. And I know they had the close game where they just barely won the third game when they were in that one. But here on this one, it's just Garoppolo, what are they doing? Trey Lance, I don't know. The running game is not the way that they want it to be. Going with the Cardinals, man. Going with the Cardinals here to cover that number. 4.5. All right. So we got Tennessee, Cleveland, and Baltimore for Tyler. Chargers, Dallas, and Arizona for me.
The second time we've gone head-to-head this year in 4 weeks.
We'll see what we
see
do
what
here.
Happens.
We'll see what we do here. I think we'll update you on the other side with the Monday Night Football game to give you the score. Yes, we'll get to John in the final segment to start us off. And we'll also let you know what happened in both baseball games today as a divisional series get underway. It's the final segment of In the Post. Not much Eagles tonight, but we're in the post. And the final segment on the other side, I'm Devon Givens. Leftovers with Tyler Zuli, 11:45, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
What's up, Philly? This is Danny Green of the Philadelphia 76ers. And now it's time to go In the Post with Devon Givens. On your home for 76ers basketball, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Oh, Danny wraps up the show. Appreciate it, Danny Green. Timmy Saunders, that thing had eyes. That's back soon. The NHL, Philadelphia Flyers. Their final game tomorrow, 7 o'clock at Washington. Next week, schedule gets underway for the Philadelphia Flyers. So that's pretty cool. No, actually, the 15th is their start.
Friday. Next Friday. One week from tomorrow.
1 week from tomorrow, so they have their wrap-up
with a weird start.
Vancouver at home.
That's strange to me. I feel like you should start with a division team.
Seattle at home.
It's a very weird start.
Then Boston.
Remember, they're not a divisional team.
I know. Well, we
right
still just
either.
Look at them as
a rival. You know, yeah. Sure.
They're at home, and then Florida. So you get four at home to start, then three on the road, and it kind of starts to split
up. It's a tough start, by the way. Vancouver's going to be improved. They just re-signed two of their top scorers. Seattle, you should win early in the season. And then you've got Boston and Florida, who are both going to probably be playoff teams. It's a really difficult start for them.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so we are now 8 days away from the start of the Flyers season. And then 5 days after that, you have the Philadelphia 76ers in New Orleans to take on the Pelicans. Here's one more thing that we have before we get to John. We at least got to ask you this. This is not in the leftovers. even though they are leftovers. Do you have double toilets in your home, people? Do you share toilets?
What?
With your partner, spouse, significant other? Do you have two toilets? It's a clean family show. But it is nighttime, so we can ask this question. What's up with the extra toilets, Megan Trainor and her husband? What's going on? Why do you need two toilets? How about just two bathrooms? One toilet and one bathroom. You have money. You can have the two sinks, a big shower, separate from your tub. But why do you need side-by-side toilets? What is going on? Sometimes you just have too much money. Why do you need two toilets? I don't know. I don't know. Tyler, you're...
It doesn't make any sense,
I don't know.
Again, you're right, right? You want the double vanity to get ready together in the morning or when you're going out at night.
That's cool.
Totally cool.
You want to share a closet?
The luxury bathtub.
Share a closet, sure. Right?
Yeah, and the thing is, too, you just said it. You got the money, right?
You have the money.
If you have such, like, weird separation anxiety that they've got to be in the same... You could at least put like a divider like you see in the men's bathroom with the urinal. Get something, man. That's gross.
Hey, man, for better or worse.
Yeah, that's for worse.
That thing had eyes. That thing had eyes. I don't know. Sometimes you just say, what the hell? Let's have two toilets. Oh, okay. John in Huntington Valley. John, what's up?
What's going on, Devon? Coincidentally, I'm a plumber.
perfect. Perfect, Johnny.
You're right. I have put or done bathrooms where people have asked for two toilets.
What's the explanation as to why? Because I know sometimes your curiosity hits you and you say, why?
I mean, honestly, there's no reason for it other than maybe they're weirdos and like to watch each other go at the same time. I mean, there's really no reason for it. I mean, I can understand like a separate bidet.
Yes.
But
yes.
Not, like the two toilets is weird.
It is.
But the new thing is giant showers with the actual bathtub in the shower now.
Giant showers. Like when you go to a hotel and they have the giant shower, but now people want to add an even bigger shower with the tub in it?
Yep.
Rich
people problems.
Yes. No problem that I have.
Right? Me either. But, I started at 7 o'clock today. Literally just pulled in my driveway.
Wow, man. Yeah, busy day. Busy day out there.
6 days a week.
Hey, man, well, more power to you, man. Great stuff by you, and I hope it's all paying off.
Got two babies at home. They're not cheap.
There you go.
But I think Ben Simmons not being there is actually going to help him be. The last caller before you did your picks and everything kind of touched on it. You touched on it. But... I mean, a lot of the reason why teams can double Joe is because they know Ben ain't going to shoot. And Maxey has proven he can get to the rim like Ben could, but he's also proven that he's not afraid to take a shot. So they're going to have to guard him. I mean, even if they guard him softly and just not have somebody like in his face constantly, the kid's not afraid to shoot the ball. And, I mean... Even if he has a good night, one out of every three games, Joe's not going to get doubled a lot.
He might not, but I think they'll make them prove it first.
Oh, absolutely. But you're already ahead of the game because he's willing.
True. He is willing. Absolutely. I get that part. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying that anybody's right if they say it's going to be a problem for Embiid. I'm just saying, they're going to be defenses that test out certain things to prove it to them first. Show me first.
Absolutely.
This is not your role coming off the bench. You're starting. Show me first.
I just don't think that not having Ben there is going to be that big of a problem. Like, I understand that defensively he's ridiculous, but you're going to gain a little bit of offense, and it's not like Maxie's a statue. Like, he's not afraid to get in your face, and Seibel's probably going to get a little bit more run, and he's just a tad less of a better defender than Ben.
Fair enough, John. Who do you have right now? Only two games, but and maybe these two games didn't change much. You like Maxie as the starter. You sticking with Maxie as the one to start off the season?
I would start Shake probably in the beginning of the year, and just let Maxie develop, and maybe halfway through the season, maybe around the All-Star break, start giving him the starting role. Unless he proves otherwise. But, I mean, Maxie, he's a ball energy, and it's nice to have something like that come off the bench where Shake's a little bit more timid.
Gotcha. Listen, man, I love it. John, get some rest because you'll be right back out there tomorrow. Hopefully you don't have to install two toilets in one bathroom. Thanks, man. All right, we'll talk to you. All right, you got it, man. Really appreciate it. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? The Embiid... maybe better off right now with Simmons.
Well,
and again, I'm just reluctant to say so because I am one who believed that they're good. Look, 51 regular seasons, it's not easy to do.
Yeah,
I've done it.
I think that it's a difficult balance to, you know, kind of like to put together because on one hand, Ben opens up when he plays the way that he should. Ben opens up so much spacing for Joel Embiid because of the fact that he can't demand the double team the way that they'd like because Simmons is going to take advantage of any defender that is left if they're going to double team Joel Embiid. He's also, we've talked about it, the floor vision and the ability to find Embiid, you know, where he needs to be is, I think, really sensational. You say really good. And so it would be unfair to say that he's going to be better without Ben Simmons on the floor because Ben Simmons off the floor makes the Sixers worse. Plain as simple as can be, point blank, end of conversation. That they are worse without Ben Simmons on the floor. However, you can also attribute Embiid's late season or late game turnovers, Embiid's having to play at the top of the key and play extended further than he should be because of Ben Simmons and because Ben Simmons shied away from possession of the basketball and aggressiveness and shooting and free throws. So you kind of have to balance those two together. And at the end of the day, I think I come up with the latter not being as formidable as the former. And therefore, I'm hesitant to say that he's going to be better without Ben Simmons, but I also understand that there are certain aspects of the game that will be able to be a little bit more controllable because your point guard is comfortable with the basketball in his hands late in the game.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. All right, real fast, Karate Mark 215, friend to the show, friend to the station. As we know, saw him this past weekend at Gay House Bar and Restaurant. Fantastic spot, love it. Mark and the crew came out. Says, Devon and Tyler, I've been with Alicia, his lovely wife, for 21 years, and they are the best. I love those two. Married 15, so I feel like I can speak on this. If you can't share a toilet, you ain't together. Yeah, the one toilet. She had the one toilet.
Yeah, it's your one in every
toilet.
Bathroom.
You make it work.
It's I've always assumed that bathrooms were one-to-one ratio.
One toilet bathroom.
One toilet per bathroom. It's a one-to-one ratio.
Like John said, rich people problems.
It's incredible.
Oh, man. All right. Final segment for us tonight. Don't forget, tomorrow, 6 to 6:30, Jamie Lynch and I will have you covered for the Draftline Show brought to you by DraftKings. And then we hand things off for Temple football starting at 7 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Then I'll catch you on Sunday for the pregame coverage with the great Derek Gunn at Name This Restaurant and sports bar. That's where we are. Name this restaurant and sports bar in Bensalem. We will check you out on Sunday, starting at 9 for me solo, 9 to 10. Then D-Gun steps in at 10, and we run until 1, leading you into Carolina, Philadelphia Eagles football.
I might come hang out with you for a little bit before I got to come here.
Before you get in here, man. Come on by, say what's up, and then you come to work. All right? You got to do some work right now, my man. Got about a good 7 minutes of leftovers.
Let's do it.
What you got?
Let's start Major League Baseball as you're watching Randy Arozarena become a playoff legend by becoming the first player to hit a home run and steal home in the same game in playoff history. But we'll get to more about the Rays and Red Sox in the coming days. Let's go to San Diego where we have another manager fired as Jace Tingler becomes the latest manager to be canned this offseason for the teams that did not make the playoffs. Finishing his second year after finishing second in voting of National League Manager of the Year in his rookie year. Last year, he took them in the shortened season to a 37-23 record in their first playoff appearance in 13 years. They won the wild card round before losing in the divisional series to the eventual World Series champion, the Los Angeles Dodgers. This year, though, with mounds of expectations with the acquisition of Yu Darvish, and, of course, Fernando Tatis getting the mega deal and everything that was centered around this team. They finished 79-83 in third place in the National League West, 28 games behind the San Francisco Giants, 27 behind the L.A. Dodgers. Now, of course, it was a lofty goal to get to 106 and 105 wins, but this team with playoff and World Series aspirations finishing four games under 500 kind of sealed the fate of Jace Tingler in his second year.
Hey, when you're in a tough division like that, you got to do some things. And how about this? I still go back to, even though it wasn't his fault, still go back to that trade that fell through. It's happening. You can't win in that division.
No, you have to capitalize in this division.
You have to get it done.
Probably National League Manager of the Year, Gabe Kapler, and of course the Giants have done the Dodgers have done a tremendous job over the last couple of years. Again, lofty goals to win 106 and 105, but you have to take advantage.
You got to take advantage when the opportunity is there for you. Peace out.
All right, let's go to the NBA next. As NBA players will now not be subject to random marijuana testing this season. An agreement has been struck between the NBA and the NBPA in a repeat of an amended policy that began in the 2020 bubble and continued through last season. It will remain again among the league and union's COVID protocol. Testing will continue for, quote, drug of abuse and performance-enhancing substances. However, marijuana will not be tested on a regular basis. It does remain prohibited in the league's collective bargaining agreement, but negotiations between the league and Players Association have loosened restrictions over the previous two seasons.
They were doing it anyway. They're just now leaving them alone. Let's move on. Now, I mean, they are opening up something. So let's see how this plays out, man, because you just hope no one takes too much of an advantage and they come to the game where, you know, it's supposed to be all good, and now they're impacted by whatever.
All right, we go to college football next. One of the guys that I know that you and I both have a lot of adoration for and would love to see in Midnight Green next season for the Eagles is LSU All-American cornerback Derek Stingley. He had a medical procedure done on his left foot, and the foot that, by the way, he originally injured in the summer. He did play in the first three games for LSU, but missed the past two with the injury. Head coach Ed Orgeron said there's no timetable for Stingley's return. It's a big loss for an LSU team that's really struggled since winning the national championship in 2018. Back in 2019, he was ranked second in the country in passes defended, was named SEC All-Freshman, and selected as the SEC Newcomer of the Year. In 2020, he was a first-team All-American, and according to Mel Kiper of ESPN, he's listed as the third-best player eligible for the 2022 NFL Draft.
Sit out. Team
he
stinks.
Should not play for the rest of the year.
Team stinks. Not going anywhere. Protect yourself. Just do it that way. You're still going to be a top pick. Stay healthy.
All right, last story outside of the world of sports. This is a wild story. I'm sure you probably have seen it, but if you've not, this is a crazy story. When you get married, there is an obligation to your vendors, meaning your photographer, meaning your bar staff, meaning anybody that you hire to be a part of your wedding, that you feed them at your wedding and you give them a plate during the reception part of your wedding.
You absolutely do.
Doubly, that goes for if you hire a buddy to be your photographer. And by the way, photography, as I know, as someone who's planning a wedding, is not cheap. So this guy hired his buddy to be his photographer, and the photographer agreed, because out of the goodness of his heart, to just $250 for the entirety of the ceremony.
As a friend.
As a friend. He started working at 11 a.m. and was due to finish around 7:30. Now, food came out about 5 o'clock. He was told that he cannot stop to eat because he needs to be a photographer. In fact, they didn't even save him a spot at the table. He told the groom that he needed a 20-minute break to get something to eat and drink. The groom told him, quote, I need to either be a photographer or leave without pay. So the photographer said, you know what? Forget this. I'm leaving. And on his way out, before he left, he showed the groom the photos that he had selected and taken of the bride and the family and the party throughout the day, and deleted every single one of them, and then walked out.
As he should. As he should. What's wrong with people? What's wrong with people? Tyler, you better not do that.
Listen.
At the wedding.
You hired somebody, and you hired your buddy, who probably should have been there already at the wedding, and he's giving you, like, this buddy discount for $250, and you don't even give him a plate? You don't even let him run to McDonald's? That's messed up, man.
Terrible. Just absolutely terrible. That's dirty. That is really dirty to do a friend like that. Just absolutely terrible.
Devon, that's what we have for our leftovers for Thursday and for this first week of October.
Whether it's a birthday party and you have a photographer as a friend, or a photo shoot and you have
feed them.
Mike and Ike's in your pocket, you share it. They're doing a favor. You have three things of water.
By the way, offer
them a bottle of water.
The place they were at, no air conditioning. It was like 95 degrees.
I'm out. I don't blame them. Throw it in the trash. Take your own pictures on your cell phones. Tyler, great work. Thanks to everybody. Appreciate it. Great to be back in the post. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Draft line, 6 o'clock. Jamie Lynch and I, 97.5 The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.